Warning, the following podcast contains spoilers and swears. Hi, who are you?
I'm Evelyn Rogers. Who are you?
I'm your father, Scott Rogers. What are we doing here?
This is a podcast about the magicians and magicians-related things.
All right. Well, what is this episode we're talking about today?
We are talking about Season 4, Episode 8, titled Home Improvement.
Directed by Joshua Butler.
Good for him.
Have we seen Joshua Butler ever before his credit?
I don't remember.
Who are these people? Where do they come from?
Where
are these directors? Are there just like a whole bunch of directors out there?
They have them in a bin.
They have them in a bin of directors?
Yeah, in a bin.
Sounds about right. All right, so let's talk about this episode. What happened?
Well, Fenn is on a quest.
Of course.
She's trying to find the person that keeps showing up in her dreams.
How many quests are in this episode? We should count.
So many.
There's Fenn has a quest to figure out their dreams. Margo has a quest to
follow Fenn.
Penny has a quest
to be in the underworld. Penny 23 has a quest.
Alice has a quest to get a magic thingy.
Beacon.
What's her face has a quest.
Poppy.
Poppy has a quest to have a dragon sex.
Katie
has a quest.
Gun.
No, that's and then there's quests at the end, right?
Yeah.
This is like a 7 quest episode.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's like these guys should be writing video games, not TV shows, right?
Well, it's a TV show. It's not a video game.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if it would be. Would it be better as a video game?
No.
No. Why not?
Unless it was like a point and click.
It probably would be a point and click, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it would be better as a video game because then you could just save it and then not play it again.
Yeah, you could save it right before bad things happen.
Exactly.
You'd be like, wow, it's fine.
All right. So, first of all, my first note is knife.
Knife. Yeah, that's about Fenn's personality.
She has a little bit more personality this episode.
Yeah.
A nice hairstyle and a nice blouse.
Mm-hmm.
And some japours.
Mm-hmm. But Fenn is on a quest to find the person who is showing up in her dreams.
Person in the green hood.
Yes, and Margot has come with her because she's like, well, hey, you know, all these dreams were technically also about me, so I'm going to come and help you, and also I'm avoiding Josh.
That's Margot being a bit egotistical also, though. I mean, you know, it's nice to have Margot in the plot rather than it just being Fenn, but still.
Yeah.
Because otherwise Fenn would have no one to talk to, and then you'd be crazy.
Yeah.
You're like a crazy person.
Yeah. But, yeah, so they are going on a little quest together.
And what do they find?
A woman. With a little cat mask.
Cat is, quest is over. They find the cat lady.
They did it! We don't have to worry about it anymore.
Why doesn't she have cats living around her house?
Because it's not her.
But she could be the cat lady.
She could be, but she's not.
Instead, she's
You know
the
who is a cat lady?
Plant lady.
Alice Quinn. Alice Quinn is a cat lady.
No, cats keep exploding around her.
Yeah, but
she would not be a good cat lady.
Last time we saw her, she went to break Bills for protection, and it turned out Zelda was there. And so now Zelda has come to her and said, hey, you have more knowledge of the mirror realm more than anyone else, so I need you to help me get Harriet out of there. She's my daughter, surprise. I care about her, obviously, so I would like her alive. Thanks.
I want to make an acting note for a second here.
Yeah.
Acting note corner.
Acting note
Cue
corner.
Cue acting note corner music.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Boo-ba-doo-boo-ba-doo-boo.
That's not the acting
That's note. The acting note corner music.
No. All right. So how come Alice always sounds like she's about to cry?
In it's her part of her character.
Do you notice
it's part
that?
Of her character.
She's always like, hey, go ahead, come
It's here. Part of her character.
I don't know. It's
because she's always one step away from a mental breakdown.
But Alice, you would think that after Alice going through the experience of being a Niffin, an all-powerful, all-knowing being, she would become more confident,
well,
much
she
like
her stuff.
Well, just like Julia, right? Like Julia became more confident when
I wouldn't say Julia's more confident, it's just that she's like, well, I'm indestructible.
Well, she's more decisive, right?
Yeah.
And she's more willing
to take... Well, Julia became a god, and Alice didn't become a god.
Well, but technically, a Nif... I mean, other than the worshippers, what's the difference between a Niffin and a god, anyway?
A Niffin doesn't have, like, the kind of infinite powers that a god has.
According to the books and the TV show, she could travel through time and travel through space and had knowledge of everything and you know, was made
not knowledge of everything.
Indestructible.
She researched. Well, she was
seeking knowledge, but she had...
But when you're a god, you can, like, hear people's prayers and all that kind of stuff, and Niffins can't do that.
Well, wouldn't that drive you a little nuts, though?
No.
You wouldn't want to hear everybody's thoughts, would you?
Yeah.
I mean, on one hand, I think you might want to know what people are thinking of you strategically, mm-hmm. but you definitely wouldn't want to, like, hear everybody's thoughts at every time, right?
No.
You probably end up getting your feelings hurt.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happened to Julia.
That she got her feelings hurt?
She did.
Because too many people were praying, going, where the heck are you?
Yeah. But Alice says, hey, I'll get the beacon for you as long as you protect Sheila and bury her book, My Bestie Sheila. And Dean Fogg also says you also have to give Breakbills an extra month of rations for the whole campus every month.
Extra juice box.
And so Alice says, hey, you know, I know about the mirror realm.
This episode is really exciting to you, isn't it?
Sorry. It's a lot of yawning. She says, hey, you know, I know about the mirror realm. There are these spooky creatures in there called I call them shards.
Very clever.
The best name. And she's like, listen. Why
didn't she call them reflections?
Because they're shards of glass. They're not shards.
But they're shards. No, like, but the glass isn't broken in the mirror realm.
But they're like broken glass reflections, basically.
They're reflections.
They're fucked up.
I call them reflections.
But Alice says, you know, doing magic in the mirror realm is very dangerous because it can always backfire and it can make the spell bounce back at you and go wrong.
It's like shooting a blaster in a trash compactor.
Yes, and they are
They missed a very obvious Star Wars metaphor.
They're setting up things for the finale.
All right.
Which sucks.
Your favorite.
Sucks.
Your favorite episode.
My least favorite.
So meanwhile.
And so... Alice is like, okay, I can turn an ordinary object into a beacon, and so she goes off to go do that. And so then we see our one Hale appearance.
Right.
He's like, listen, I'm going through withdrawal, and my life is terrible right now.
I thought he was just going to say he was hungry.
He's
like
not.
He said his stomach is full of ants.
No, his body's full of ants, because he's going through withdrawal.
Right.
But,
too many drugs.
Don't
do drugs, kids.
He's like, Q, you're sleeping too much, you gotta work better to find my stuff. And so Q's like, no, listen, look at this book. I'm looking for Charlemagne's Globus Cruciger.
Ugh, another quest. another pointless quest.
And the monster disappears, and he's like, go find it. And so Q talks to Katie.
Globus Cruciger sounds like your testicles have been swollen.
Oh, God.
I have a bad case of the Globus Cruciger.
Uh-huh.
I can't even sit down. I have to sit on a pillow.
But Q talks to Katie, and she says, okay, I can get in touch with Pete. He calls himself Love Lady. He's peddling a bunch of magic shit. And, you know, Julia's like, I don't want to work with this guy. He's a creep.
Yep.
But Pete actually finds the thing that they're looking for.
Yep.
On the internet. Anybody could have found it, but it's like he has a catalog of pictures, basically, of things that he can get for them.
So what is it? His Pinterest board?
Yeah.
These are all the mystic things that I am interested in.
Basically, the thing that they're looking for, the next god bean, is being kept by the East River Dragon. And okay. He's like, guys, you know dragons are real, right? And they're like, yeah, we've met like three.
He just sounded disappointed that they met three. That reminds me of the time where I was at work and we went to go to Club 33, which is the fancy schmancy restaurant at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And my boss looks over at me and he's all cocky and he's like, oh, you know, is this your first time here, Scott? And I'm like, no, actually, I've been here a couple times before. And he was he looked just like Pete. He was so disappointed that he, you know, I had been there more than he had.
Rip, dude.
Rip. Rip on that guy.
But Pete is like,
hey. That fucking guy.
Stop trying to do the Nandor voice. You're not going to. This is our ad. What we do in the shadows is very good. We love Harvey Gillian.
Come on our show.
He's not gonna.
He would. We have to ask. All we have to do is ask.
He's too famous.
He's not too famous.
He's
still. He's only still medium level famous. He's not on the cover of People magazine yet.
I think he has been.
On People magazine?
I think he has been.
They're really hurting for people.
Oh,
no!
No!
I'm kidding. No!
No,
we would love to have you on. What's his real name?
Harvey.
Well, because we think of him as Benedict and we think of him as Guillermo.
That's
right?
What you do. Well, I know his name.
I don't know him in person.
Yeah,
so
neither do
until
I.
Until I introduce to him in person,
uh-huh.
I will just know him by
Harvey,
his character.
Harvey, go to Comic-Con so we can meet
yeah,
you.
Yeah, Harvey, let's go. Let's hook up at Comic-Con, man.
What if we had a Filler and Father meet up at Comic-Con?
Oh, yeah, that would be cool. Comic-Con in November?
In November, not the LA one.
No, well,
that's the one my friend's
San
going
Diego.
To. I know. My friend's going to the LA one.
Which reminds me, I have to check some things.
I'm working on cosplay things.
Yeah, of course you are.
I am.
You know, all right. Never mind. I'll tell you the story off the air.
What, are you
going to
shame me?
No, I'm not going to shame you. I'm just going to tell you some advice that I got 1 year at Comic-Con.
Okay.
If you
want to
be a professional.
Professionals cosplay. Adam Savage cosplays.
No, Adam Savage is like a...
He's a professional.
He's like a hyper nerd.
Yeah,
he's different. He's elevated himself past the level of professional. So it's like... Like, he's now in the, like, Michael Jackson hiding out level, right? Mm-hmm. Where he has to dress up, like, as a weirdo old man or something, right? Like, if you're a young fan, it's okay to cosplay. Then if you're a professional or you want to be a professional, you really shouldn't cosplay. Because you don't want to show up at a place you want to work at dressed up like Batman. And then when get to a point where you are so famous... that you are like above it all, you're kind of untouchable by that kind of criticism, then you can dress up again. So you can be Mark Hamill and wear a Stormtrooper costume. You can be Adam Savage and dress up like the guy from the suit from Alien. You can be, what's his name, from Breaking Bad and wear a mask of yourself. Like that, those people have ascended past criticism.
Well, I think
you're not
if you're
there
not having
yet.
Fun, then what's the fucking point?
There's other ways to have fun at Comic-Con.
Well, I want to cosplay... So I'm gonna, sorry. I'm working hard on these costumes and I want to show them off.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just giving you some parental advice.
Thank you.
That's what this show is about, remember?
But anyway, this is our ad watch, What We Do in the Shadows is very good. It's giving me brain worms.
All right.
Pete talks to Katie and he says, hey, you know, I was Marina's right-hand man. I'm dependable. You should come and help us with the hedge problem and the fact that the library's been targeting hedges. And they deserve to pay. And Katie's like, I don't know, maybe. and then we see Penny 23 and Julia. And Julia's like, hey, you know, I have been dealing with the fact that, like, I don't know what I am anymore. Am I a god? Am I a human? Am I something in between? Am I a demigod? I just don't know. And it's kind of disturbing me that I don't know, you know?
Do any of us really know what we are?
No.
That's true. So maybe she's just going through what everybody's
but
going through.
But you know what I know is that I finally was able to identify my magician's prop
on screen.
Yeah, we found
your possibly.
We possibly found my
found
fake
plant. We found a wall
plant.
Of plants.
A wall of plants. And potentially my plant is on
there.
That wall of plants.
Right.
Which is pretty cool to finally know where
You're
it's from.
Close.
Closer. But I knew it was probably in Marina's
apartment. Right.
Katie's loft.
Right.
Whatever you
whatever
call it.
Whatever it is.
The pad. the bat cave.
It's too bright for the bat cave.
That's
a nice apartment, by the way.
It is.
I would like an apartment like that. Nice high ceilings. They have a big kitchen area.
Mm-hmm.
They have a separate dining space.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Enough
and they
room
have, you
to
know,
hang
weird,
like a nice big
those
painting
weird
on
stairs
the wall.
That lead up to the
yeah, that's the only thing I don't
area.
Like. I don't like those wireframe stairs. They make me too nervous.
Yeah,
it's kind
of
like, did you remember The Haunting? The original
Hill House?
No, the original movie The Haunting, that is based on The Haunting of Hill House.
Yes.
And there's a whole, well, even in I guess even in the TV show there's the stairs, right?
Yeah.
Like the metal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like those.
Yeah.
I like the way
stressful.
They look,
but they're not fun to walk up.
I do not like walking up them, mainly because they wiggle too much.
Yeah.
And then you get nervous and you think you're going to fall, and I don't like heights.
Yep.
And so we're not having one in our house.
Well, that's a good thing because we don't live in a fancy house.
But I still would like a big library, and I still would like a bookshelf that you need a ladder to slide around. That would be awesome, right? But then I would get nervous about
falling off
that, yeah. And then you'd have to hire somebody to dust it because I'd be too nervous that I would lean too far back while dusting.
Yeah.
And then fall.
But speaking of falling and traveling... You're making such a bad face. Penny 23 talks to Katie and he says, hey, I talked to your Penny. And he says, I love you, but, like, sorry, you should move on. He's proud of you, babe. And she's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? And it's just a really, it's a bad time for Katie, honestly.
I don't know. Yeah. Katie's pretty good in this episode, though.
She is pretty
funny. She has some good moments in this episode. Yeah.
Well, then we see Alice. She's gone to Stephanie, her mom, because she, in order to cast the beacon, you have to do a mother-daughter, like, co-op spell.
And now she lives in a different house.
Well, it's the same house, but it's, like, re-magicked.
Well, no, it's a different. It's an actual different house.
Yeah, obviously. But,
wasn't their house a lot flatter and wider?
It had
it was like Roman
architecture spells on it.
Right.
And that's what changed the inside. But the
house that they live in now...
And then now it's the same house, but she redid the spells.
The house that they use now as a set...
Yes, it's a different house.
...is a nicer house than the house they lived in before, I think.
Interesting.
That's what I think. I think that the house they lived in before was not a great house, just from a floor plan perspective. This one seemed like a nice... Again, another nice place that it would be nice to live in, right?
Yeah.
Except for the little steps coming up and down. You have to be careful.
Yeah.
It'd be tough to move, like, furniture up and down it.
But apparently Stephanie has, like, you know, redone the house.
It looks nice.
And,
but it has a meter.
Reinstated all of the old spells that Daniel had, including the crazy lockdown spell, the purge spell that he made. And, yes, there is a meter monitoring levels of magic use because of the, like, terrorism attack in Modesto.
Oh, my God. Modesto.
I know. But Stephanie agrees to do the spell with Alice. So then we see Quentin and Julia. They have gone to the East River to go talk to the dragon, and they meet Harold the Herald, who misread the job description when he got it.
Yeah.
And they're...
Again, the writer's being a little too clever.
They're like, hey, we're trying to find this object. And he's like, oh, I can't get it for you. And they're like, well... If you can find this magical elixir that we lost. This lava lamp that we lost. And like, oh, for sure. Easy peasy. We can get it done. And he's like, here, the perpetrator used this. And it's a dart. And as they're walking away, Quentin's like, well, you know, this dart is actually from Fillory. So we know exactly where to look. And obviously they're going to go look for Poppy, who is a dragonologist.
She's thirsty for dragons.
She's thirsty for dragons. So then we see Fenn and Margot.
Oh, they found a Fillorian dart, too, right?
Yeah, I said that.
Oh, that's like Attack of the... They stole the plot right out of Attack of the Clones.
Oh.
Because in Attack of the Clones,
that person tries to assassinate...
Former gets... It's killed by a Kamino saber dart, and it turns out to be Jango Fett, and they're like, this dart could only come from Kamino, this planet full of CG generated aliens that don't look like they would ever use a dart to do anything.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, what? It's an aquatic society. Why would you ever use an airborne weapon? If it was a harpoon,
they probably have like a little water gun.
If it was a harpoon, I'd understand. If the poison was from a blowfish that lived on the planet, I'd understand it. But that's like saying you're on the moon where there's no gravity and you're using a weapon and you're like, oh, that weapon must be from the moon because it's a gravity weapon.
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
Both stupid. Both stupid in Attack of the Clones and in this. Because why would you use a dart against the dragon underwater? Again,
I don't know. Maybe she wasn't underwater.
No, darts have feathers. That dart had feathers on it.
Yeah.
Feathers imply flight. They imply traveling through the air. Therefore, it would be used on some place where there is oxygen, not water.
Mm-hmm.
You don't shoot harpoons with feathers on them underwater.
How do you know? Have you ever shot?
I have shot a harpoon, thank you very much, just above land, not in the water.
Well, then you haven't tried it underwater.
I know it works underwater. It's fine. Uh-huh. I don't like scuba diving.
Uh-huh.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
Again, nobody thought it through. Everybody just went, oh, we're going to do dart like a Deck of the Clones. They sound just like that. They're like, duh. And it wasn't really. It's a regional dialect. It's
but
not that they're just dumb.
Speaking of darts, we see Fenn and
Your
Mark.
Mother's going to love this episode. You're going off on a tangent again. Shut up. Get back to the point.
That's not what she sounds like.
I know.
But we see Fenn and Margot. They've met with the prophet, and she's like, yo, I appeared in your dreams. Do my yard work, please.
Cat lady is annoying.
Cat lady is.
She has a nice mask and a great hood.
Oh yeah, it's really cool.
It's a really nice looking hood.
But it's clearly a false woman who's just kind of making them do stuff for her because she can.
Right.
So then we see Q. He goes to Break Bills. He goes to the physical kid's cottage, and Poppy has been holed up in there. She's sweating bullets.
Yes.
And she's acting very suspicious. And he's like, "Hey, you're a dragon obsessed crazy person who's narcissistic and only does things for themselves. So I figured you were the one who probably stole this." This elixir.
Dragon's
and,
stuff.
And she's like, "Well, no, but surprise, surprise, I am pregnant." And then we see Julia. She's come to find Q because he's been gone for hours. And he's like walking around with a little chili bowl. And
was that chili for him or
her? It was for Poppy. Oh. And she Q is acting weird because Poppy is preggers and he's gonna be a dad. Again.
Well,
maybe.
Is he? It's not his kid. I mean, they do nothing to really infer that.
She just says, no, it's
like,
not.
Like, later we find out why. But, like, the setup of, like, hey, I'm going to be a dad doesn't really work. I think it falls a little flat because
they don't reference his actual kid, his canon kid.
Well, that's a totally different thing, right? Like, the fact that he is a father and he did have a child and he has lived this already. And, and they're just ignoring that, even though they're, like, they can't make up their mind whether they like that plot line or not, I think. I think that they built it and they were like, oh, this is a really good excuse to just do an episode
and
around
once fans.
In one set. No, I don't think they even did it for that. I think they did it because it was like easy, right? Like it's easy to do a single set and then just shoot, you know, montage and put them in some, you know, old age makeup is a little bit tricky, but it's fun, right, for the actors.
Yeah.
I think that they did it without thinking of the ramifications of the episode. Right?
I think you're right.
Yeah, I'm right about a lot of things.
I think
show,
you're right
think.
About that. And yeah.
But it's too bad because it's like for a show
it
that.
It would have impact and it would have influence on
but
his
there's a lot of things in this show that have impact. And there's a lot of continuity. This is a very continuity dense show, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is not like Star Trek. I mean, Star Trek has continuity, but Star Trek is like things kind of reset.
When Picard lived through his whole life in 25 minutes, it affected him and it made him.
Well, and he referenced it later.
He references it later, and he's seen playing his little flute and stuff.
Right. Well, obviously,
he talks about the planet that he was at, and he talks about his wife and stuff.
Yeah.
And
it comes up in other episodes.
It influences his decisions.
Even when it's like almost not even necessary for him to mention it.
Yeah.
He still drops
because he lived. The whole life.
Right, just like if something dramatic
and
happened
to
you.
That's what happened to Q and Elliot, and then they don't even reference it.
Right, I mean, you've had things happen in your life.
I have had things happen in my life.
And bring them back up, right? Like
yes.
We all do, right?
Yes.
So what makes us. But you can't have it both ways. You can't have a show that is continuity heavy and also ignore important moments in the continuity.
But that's what they do.
Well, that's because they either have a selective memory... Or they wrote things that they regret, and then now they don't want to address them.
Mm-hmm.
Have they said ever? I assume fans have called them out on this.
Well, it's been very clear that they... Well, so the Life in a Day thing, they did, you know, just they did. But then afterwards in 405, in Escape from the Happy Place, they had forgotten about it. And they're like, wait, this could affect the plot. And they just kind of, you know, both ideas were kind of spontaneous and they didn't plan them. And so...
Did they say this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And also it became kind of clear that, like, they, like, soaked in all the praise for, like, the queer representation and then didn't do anything with it afterwards.
Well, are any of the writers queer?
No.
Okay. So they're appropriating the culture? Maybe?
No.
No? Are they just using it because they knew that there was a large queer audience? And
yeah,
so they
well,
wanted
if
to
you,
appear,
if you,
because appeal
a,
to them?
A lot of times people will flock to something if they hear that there is canon, you know, queer representation in it because there's still not a lot of good queer representation in the world. So then, you know, you hear about the show that's like a fantasy show,
good or
which
positive.
You don't really get to see a lot of positive and good queer representation in fantasy or sci-fi. And a lot of times the characters end up dying, which is, again, what happened here.
Right, right.
But, you know, at the time, it was like, oh my gosh, you know, that 405 and 305, those episodes were what brought in a huge majority of their audience after The Magicians had only been watched, you know, by the dedicated people who started watching it when it started, you know?
Right.
That's what had, like, the big kind of industry boom of fans was because Quelliot got together, and then they didn't do anything with it. And that's why they lost 40% of their viewer base.
Because they were too busy making Elliot a evil monster and not a nice person, right? I mean, it's sad. They really, like, Elliot was an interesting character, and they were evolving him, and they were making, you know, talking about his backstory, and he was finally overcoming his...
Yeah, they basically shut down any chance of, like, positive character development that he has.
Well, you know
and
what,
Quentin's as well.
Well, you know what happened is this. It's kind of like the same thing that would happen on TV shows when the romantic leads would fall in love, right? Like, once, you know, like, once a couple got together... Like,
well, they still assert that Quentin is straight the whole time, even though he is literally bisexual.
Right. Well, maybe he's pansexual. Who knows? But anyway, the point is that I'll bet what happened is that the writers were like, we have evolved Elliot past. He's no longer the narcissistic,
funny,
you know,
background character.
Well, not funny, not background, but like the snark. He's no longer the snarky friend character that he used to be. We've evolved him to become much more of a person, and we've rounded out his personality, and he's evolved, and he's kind of got over, not over, but he's gotten past some traumas in his life, right? Like he was healing as a character,
and they're like,
and they didn't know what to do.
Bring the thunder down.
Well,
bring the lightning down get him again.
Well, as a writer, I mean, part of the problem with serialized fiction is you have to just keep heaping misfortune on your characters to keep people engaged.
I've said this before, but that misfortune does not have to be on the couple. It could be them dealing with something together.
Sure, but if you're in a relationship with somebody, or you are friends with somebody, even if you're just friends with somebody, right?
Mm.
And something horrible were happened to friends, but they probably didn't want to get rid of Hale, the actor. They wanted to keep him around. So instead they said, all right, let's have something horrible happen to him that changes him, and we no longer have to worry about writing Elliot.
It's
we can
just,
still write for Hale, but not write
so,
for Elliot.
I think it was a case of they're like, wow, Hale's such a good actor, we don't know what to do with that, you know?
Right.
Like, because he would, you know, because originally the monster was just going to be like, oh, they said play it like Elliot but evil, and then he was like, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
And then he,
so
know,
what did wait?
Created
so
this
wait, what,
really good performance, and so then they wrote for that performance.
Right, and so maybe Hale was a bit of a victim of his own success, right?
I don't know, but I do know that, you know, in terms of emotional continuity, they do in fact fuck it up even more so, because you know, in 405, you know, Elliot says, you know, there's a person who loves you. And, you know, he's a good and true person that loves you, and you just kind of threw back in his face, and he says, you know, Quentin loved you. He's, like, aware of that, in love with him. And then later, in the next season, they go back on that, and he says, like, oh, I don't know if Q loved me or not. When he literally, the whole point of that fucking episode was him going, yes, Q loves me. I am in love with Quentin. We are both in love with each other. I just rejected him because I was scared.
Well,
and then they make the whole bravery thing
maybe
into something else. And this is why I hate season 5, episode 3 so much. Mountain of Ghosts, you're on my shit list. I would literally rather... I would burn that episode to the ground if I could, because I hate it so much.
I can't wait to watch it with you. All right. Anyway.
Anyway.
These are just going to be get more and more fun.
We see Katie. Yes. We see Katie and Penny 23 and Julia, and they're apparently Quentin has been talking about what kind of dad he wants to be. I'm going to cry now.
Well, he already was a dad.
I know, but it makes me sad because he hasn't told anyone about the mosaic. No, none of them have told anyone. Elliot never even tells Margot. They don't, like, they tell Margot about, you know, that they lived a whole life, but they never talk about their relationship or their family.
Do you think Margot would have gotten jealous?
No, I don't think she would have. I think she would have been upset that her two best friends didn't share that important part of their lives with her.
Right.
You know?
Why do you think they didn't do that?
Because the writers didn't want to deal with it.
That's weird, though. Why put all that effort into that story and make such a beautiful episode only to just set it aside?
Because they don't know how to write gay people being happy.
Well, Maybe they should have talked to some gay people.
Yeah, maybe
some
they,
happy gay people.
Maybe they should have, but they didn't.
All right.
But
speaking of which, did you catch the Target ad?
Yes,
I did. Who doesn't like Target?
But
is that our commercial for this week?
No, we already did this for What We Do in
Target,
the Shadows,
where you can buy a copy of my board game, Alien: Fate of the Nostromo, available now at Target.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's only $29.99, I think.
Yeah,
it's a good price, and you get miniatures.
Yeah,
of Alien. If you like Alien and you like miniatures and you like board games, you should go buy it.
There you go.
From my friend's Ravensburger.
But you know, you could also buy Dragon Erotica, and that's what Katie finds.
No, you can't. You actually cannot.
Yes, you can. It's called
Where?
You commission someone
well,
to draw a Dragon
you
Erotica.
You could, or you, I guess, could go, I mean, is it, what is it, Rule 54 or whatever?
34.
34, that there's
also,
always porn.
It's called Dragon Riders of Porn.
Yeah, I know. Again,
Poppy
they
Klein.
Again, they
who,
are.
Who did they pay to draw that?
I would
like to know.
Again.
What
a,
fabulous artist
the writers
got
are
paid.
Being too clever, uh-huh. right? Dragon Riders of Porn. Get it? Like uh-huh. Dragon Riders of Porn.
I get it. I get it.
Excuse me. But what I did think was funny was they blurred the dragon's genitals in the comic book.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
And
so that means that somewhere out there there's a comic book
yeah,
with dragons
uncensored.
With big dongs.
Yep. And also they find the elixir, but it's empty. It turns out that the elixir is dragon cum.
Yeah.
Poppy turkey basted herself.
So, all right, here's where we come to my. How is it that this show is only four seasons, and yet they've had two major plot points that have to do with sperm? First, they had Ember's sperm, and that like lasted several entire season and a half, right? And now they're back at it with dragon sperm, right? What are they going to have like a third? Is there like, you know, is there like manticore sperm
no.
coming up next or minotaur
no.
sperm or
no.
ghost sperm or
no.
Like what if there's just a supernatural TV show that's like every week it's just dealing with the sperm of some other supernatural creature?
Well, then it would have to be about like a supernatural OBGYN.
Maybe. Or, well, or it could just be a
magical.
It could just be about a magical.
Planned Parenthood.
No, they're going around with those black light.
Magically
flashlight,
Planned Parenthood.
Those black light flashlights.
Oh, God.
So they could see.
God.
This show, fucking shame on you, this show. You're so. Oh my God, this infuriates me. This, that the fact
that
they
their
had
to. Fallback is come?
Yeah, it's like. Yes, that's like. They're so fucking creatively bankrupt. It drives me insane.
Well, if I had a time machine, I would go back in time and I would infiltrate the writer's room of the magicians and be like Grima Wormtongue and just whisper my own ideas to them.
If I had a time
be
machine.
Like, turn Quentin into a frog.
I go back in time.
Turn Quentin into a frog.
I go back in time to the point where you said, hey, do you want to do a podcast about
and
the magicians?
Say no.
And I'd be like, no, let's do The Mandalorian instead. The
Mandalorian was not happening when we started.
Well, The Mandalorian has eggs and there's fertilization mentioned in it.
Probably
but
come
they
then.
Never show anyone's sperm. The Mandalorian already is
way
more
better, than
better
the
because it has never had to rely on sperm as a plot point.
Yeah. But
that's our third ad for this week. The
sperm?
Mandalorian.
Oh.
No, not for sperm. Sperm. Buy the gallon. Terrible. All right.
Well,
this show is terrible. It makes me say terrible things. Shame on you, show.
You know who says terrible things to each other?
Who?
Alice and Stephanie.
Yes, they
and
do.
And they tried to do the co-op spell together. They tried five times, but it doesn't work.
Because Alice has thick thumbs.
Thick thumbs. But then Stephanie's friend Carol comes over, who is the woman who got tased by Alice the last time they saw each other, but she's using new glamour magic on herself, so it's a different actress. And she's got a new business where she sells marital aids, which are basically voodoo dolls
so
for sex.
Porn voodoo dolls.
Yep.
So now, not only are we dealing with dragon porn, but we're dealing with
human puppet porn. Yeah. But, out of the corner of her eye, Alice sees some librarians walking up to the house. It's Gavin and his buddy Muhammad. And
how did you even get the names out of
when
they say Gavin?
Because I
heard Muhammad. I didn't hear Gavin.
Gavin is the name of the Australian man. We learned
it
several.
Australian?
Yeah, he is.
Oh,
right. He has an accent.
Right.
But Alice activates the purge protocol that her dad made. And keep so now they're all locked inside the house and they're locked out.
That's okay. It seems like a nice house to be locked in. There's lots of books to read. Well, there's kitchen that probably has a good, you
some
know,
nice flowers.
Lots of food.
But then we see Margot and Fen and the false prophet. Margot has pushed her into some vines and gotten her stuck. And, you know, the prophet's like, oh, I predict the shears are in the shed. And Margot has the shears. And she's like, oh, I didn't predict this, huh?
Margot's funny.
Yes. And she's like, yeah, sorry, I lied. But all the pilgrims come and they ruin my fucking yard and they eat my food and it sucks. So I just wanted some of that back again. But she's like, but the real thing, you can only catch it in dreams. It's a questing creature. It's called the Napster.
Another quest.
It's called the Napster.
Again, this is the writers trying to be so clever. Right? Oh, I'm so clever. We made a Napster
reference.
We have
to shut down the Napster.
In 2000 and what?
This was 2019.
And what year was Napster already shut down? By like 2008 or something? Yeah. So, oh, good job, Magicians writers, making a 10-year-old joke. That's like Spaceballs. That came out way too late after Star Wars to be funny. This is it. This show is the Spaceballs of television.
Fantasy?
Of fantasy television, yes. Not funny. Based on
not
something...
Not funny.
Based on something excellent and coming off as a bad, lame joke.
Yeah. But at the physical kid's cottage, we see Quentin. He's gathering sand for Poppy because she wanted to feel like she was at the beach. And they look through the dragon porn, you know, discover, yes, the elixir is dragon cum.
They
Poppy turkey-basted herself and that she's pregnant with a dragon fetus.
Penny finds the jar.
Yeah, Penny 23.
Of all, the jar is smashed open on the top.
And it's like...
Why do they need to smash open the jar?
It's so funny, though. He, touches it and then he throws it away.
He's like,
and he's got Arjun Gupta is the funniest man alive.
He does do funny faces. But now, how does Penny know that that's the thing they were looking for?
No, because Katie was reading through the Dragon Porn magazine, and in the Dragon Porn magazine, you can see the color of their cum.
But they don't show the bottle.
You see the color of the cum, and it looks like the color from the elixir, and that's how they figure out that the elixir is cum. Simple math. Simple PEMDAS.
Simple math.
But Poppy's like, this is my historic...
No wonder I don't like math.
She's like, this is a historic pregnancy, you know. But Julia's like, hey, you know, magical pregnancies can, like, mess with your head. You're acting really weird, and you're making Quentin act really weird. And they're like, well, do you think maybe Quentin touched her tummy, and that's why he started acting strange? Because magical pregnancies, especially dragon pregnancies, have built-in protection, and they have pheromones that'll make people, like, be protective of them, and they'll take over. And Poppy is nesting in the physical kid's cottage. So then we see Gavin and Muhammad, and they're like, oh,
looking
damn.
Looking through their stupid eye things.
They're like, oh, damn, it's a hostage situation. And they're like, did she figure out that Stephanie called us? And she's like, you know, sometimes people take hostages when they find out that they got betrayed, you know? And he's like, but deploy the screamers. So then we see Alice and Stephanie, and Stephanie reveals that she turned in Carol because she's been selling, you know, voodoo dolls that have been...
Illegal porn.
Yeah, illegal porn that people have been used to torture their partners.
Isn't that just a relationship?
Yeah. But Alice, you know, thought that Stephanie had turned her in, and then the screamers get released, and all the books start screaming.
Again, just taking from Harry Potter, right? That's just a howler.
Yeah.
They should have just called it howlers.
Well, they can't.
Why not? It's not like the word howler is copyrighted.
It probably is.
It probably isn't.
It probably is.
Well, do you think J.K. Rowling has
J.K. Rowling is a terrible turf.
Well, we already know this. We don't have to talk about that. We can talk about just their copyrights.
Yeah. Apparently, we cut back to the physical goods cottage, and it turns out that Poppy was actually lying about her pregnancy. And she's actually just normal human pregnant, but she did steal a dragon egg and fertilize it.
Right.
And Quentin's like, you're not going to take Falcor away from us.
But then Katie whips out a gun, which
I
love.
Well, first of all, they're like, Penny goes for the egg and he puts on some oven mitts so he doesn't have to, touch
it.
And then he's holding, Penny 23's holding it and he's looking and he's like, why do I want to lick this egg? I want to lick this egg. And he licks the egg.
Yeah.
And I love Poppy's line. She says, ha, egg beats oven mitts, bitch. Now you're my sister wife to Julia. But Julia grabs it, and she can just touch it fine because she's, you know, half god.
Right.
And so then Katie pulls out a gun, and she's like, nobody move or the egg gets it.
It's scrambled.
Yeah. And they, you know, slowly back away. And Julia's Katie. Like, where the fuck you get a gun? And I love Katie's Katie. Like, I kept Sam's gun. It's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
I like that Katie is kind of part... now I'm forgetting. What is Margot's name in the book?
Janet.
Janet. Like, Katie she's is not, like well, part
well,
Janet.
Well, Katie isn't part Janet. Katie is a combination of Amanda Orloff and... Janet. No, not Janet. She's a combination of Amanda Orloff and of Asmodeus. Of
yeah, a little bit. No, but I also see...
No, she literally is. She literally is a combination of Asmodeus and Amanda
Orloff. She felt very Janet in that moment.
Well... You know, Asmodeus also has, you know, done violent things.
All right.
And with knives, too, which is pretty fun.
All right.
She guts Reynard. Shout out to Asmodeus.
Yeah, how come we didn't get to see that in the...
Well, because they're like, it's they're fine. They're okay forgive with a rapist. Him. Forgive him. Right. It's fine.
That's bullshit. See, that's another big blunder I think they did in the plot, right? Yeah. Maybe they were like, well, we could bring him back as a villain or something. But I think that it would have been much more satisfying to just
watch
him
get murdered after he murdered all those other characters.
I mean, considering how violent they've shown, like how graphic they've shown some deaths on this show.
Yeah.
I would think that, you know, seeing him getting, you know, disemboweled or something like that would be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You know? I wouldn't have minded seeing him get...
I would have loved to watch
his arc went on way too long anyway, right? So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
We love the actor, but your character should die horribly.
Yes, he should have. But then we see Stephanie and Carol and Alice, and this is where we find out about the voodoo dolls, and it turns out that Stephanie still has some DNA of the travelers.
That's convenient.
In her mugs, because they came earlier today, so they can use the voodoo dolls on them. So...
How would you apply... Like, how do you apply mug DNA?
Mug DNA? To... Well, it's like their saliva and stuff.
I guess, but like, would you...
Well, it's magic, so it's not as, you know, it doesn't have to be as specific as, like, you
but
know,
you think...
hair
No,
something.
I mean, like, a lot of their spells and stuff involve, you know, chemicals and
yeah.
you know, hair of a newt and things like that, right? That kind of, you know, traditional witchcraft. So I would think that there'd be some sort of, you know, liberally apply saliva, like, where? Like, do you... Is there like a little...
You put it all over the little doll.
But there's
you
not
you
enough...
It on
there
like
wouldn't
the
be enough saliva.
I don't know. We don't have magical sex food.
But they
dolls.
Have all... They go through all this process to show like how to make a mirror activated and they don't take the time to show how a voodoo doll gets made, right?
Oh, man.
Come on. If you're going to nerd out over the particulars of your magic in your universe, you got to nerd out over all of it, not just some of it. Can't pick and choose.
But, you know, after...
I love it when I'm right.
Uh-huh.
Because then you're just like, you're right. You think I can just see it in your head. You go, you're right.
Okay.
When you're right, you're right.
Be quiet now. Let's move forward. Alice argues with Stephanie that...
Don't make me open hand slap you.
Yeah, I was about to get to that. That, you know, that we're like perfectly strangers and that you didn't really care about me anyway. And this is where Stephanie goes to smack her open hand.
Yeah.
The worst kind of smack.
Yeah,
you
if you're
going to
smack somebody, close your fingers.
And she says, you know, Stephanie says to Alice, I know what you're capable of, but you're all I have, you know. You're still my daughter. And Alice is like, okay, let's try the mother-daughter spell one more time. And it actually works this time. She says, you know, we never liked each other. And after Dad died, you know, I thought that was the end of it. But you still protect me. And I was the one choosing not to be your daughter.
Right.
And then
it's
Stephanie,
all Alice's
and
fault.
Then Stephanie's like, oh, you mean I was right? And Alice is like, ugh, okay.
Parents.
And then they get out the voodoo dolls and they start doing stuff to them. And
flicking
we watch
him in the balls.
Gavin and Muhammad get like jacked off with little dolls and then they get flicked in the balls and stuff. And it's very fun to watch.
Do you think that was their audition?
What?
Their
audition?
Yeah.
No, like Gavin's been on the show before.
How long, how good of a cum face can you make?
Oh, gross.
See, again, third sperm reference this whole episode.
Uh-huh. But then we see Julia and Katie with Falcor. They've got the egg. They've brought him to the East River. And they're like, yo, dragon,
here's your egg.
We got this egg for you. And meanwhile, you know, Quentin and Penny, 23, and, you know, Poppy are all like, give us the baby, give us Falcor. And Penny 23 has Harold in like a chokehold and stuff. And he's like, if we don't get the egg, he gets it, you know. But Julia offers it up to the East River Dragon. And she's like, here's your egg back. And she's like, oh shit, I'm too young to be a mom. I'm only 12,422 years old. And she's like, wait a second, how can you hold it? And Julia's like, I don't know, dude.
I'm a god.
I can hold it. I guess that's it. You know, I can just hold it. But they give the egg to the East River Dragon, and you know, they all like, no, Falcor, no, no, baby, no, as it like is put in a basket and lowered into the water.
Like baby Moses.
Okay. So then Alice goes back to Zelda and Dean Fogg, and she brings the beacon, the mirror spell for Zelda. Fogg gets his rations, and he's like, wow, oh my god, for once. Let's just celebrate. For once, everyone in this room has done something good. Let's enjoy it for, like, the 5 seconds while it lasts. And then Alice is like, I need to see Sheila. And Fogg's like, oh, well, it ended. And Sheila comes out, but turns out that she has joined up with the library.
That's right. She's now dressed like a librarian.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, Sheila's like, I like this job. I want to be a librarian.
I want to do good things. And yes. Her book's in the poison room, so she is technically safe.
Yep.
But Alice feels completely betrayed by her friend she's only known for, like, a week.
Yeah.
And, you know, she had faith in Sheila. She was so excited to, like, work with her. And now it's all been thrown out the drain.
I thought they were going to say, Sheila gets to work in the poison room.
yeah. She just gets magic cancer again.
Exactly.
But, you know, Zelda's like, hey, listen, everyone in this room is your ally. And Sheila's like, Alice, you have to let me go. But, like, you guys, again, have only known each other for one episode. So, like...
Yeah, I know.
What is this deep relationship? It's not a huge betrayal.
Nope.
It's
just that Alice doesn't make friends very easily,
that
I guess.
That is true. That is true. But then we see Penny 23 and Julia. They're talking. And we also see, like, everyone who was affected by the egg spell are using eggs to counteract the eggs.
You're, like, rubbing eggs
Yeah, they're rubbing
themselves.
Eggs on themselves. It's okay. Very funny looking. But, you know, Penny 23 and Julia are talking. Julia's like, you know, I've resisted the egg spell. And, you know, it's just got me thinking, you know, Quentin and I used to be the same. But now Q is human and I'm something else. And I don't even know if, like, I'm going to die when everyone else does, because gods live, you know, forever. Well, so am I just going to be indestructible and then outlive all my friends? And Penny 23 is like, well, technically travelers are also non-human. You know, you're alone, but you're not. So we could be alone together, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
You know, here's the thing. Maybe Julia needs to just have people not believe in her as a god.
Maybe. And then that means we have to get rid of Penny 23.
Right, exactly. So, like, once everybody who believes in Julia as a god is gone, then obviously they can't. They're not a god anymore.
Sadly,
right?
That's not the case. Instead, it's going to be terrible and sad, and it's going to suck. But we see Q and Poppy, and Poppy's like, hey, you know, I am actually human pregnant, and I've decided I'm going to keep the baby.
Good for her.
And she's like, honestly, I went to a sex ritual, and I forgot to abort it. Oopsies. And, you know, she's like, I was going to give it up for adoption, but now after seeing that I have actually had this maternal instinct with this egg, I feel like I could be a mom. And, she's like, you know, I could, like... I could be an unconventional parent. Like, unconventional parenting is awesome. And then Quentin's like, or it can be very shitty. And she's like, you know, no, Quentin, you convinced me. I'm going to be a great mom.
So wait, what's the actress, her name again?
Felicia Day.
What did she have?
She was pregnant.
What did she have, though?
I don't know. She had a kid.
What kind of kid?
A child.
A dragon?
No, it was her actual child.
Right. But do you know what type of child she had?
No, oh, okay. I do not know.
That'd be
it was
interesting to
a
find
child.
Out. What did she name her child?
I don't know what her child's name is.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Interesting to find
you
out.
You could find it out.
I could.
But Quentin asks, you know, is it mine? And she says, no, it's not.
Well, how Quentin?
But
how would
why
he even
did you
think
want it,
it
to be?
But how would Quentin hasn't had his genitals near anybody in a whole semester. In a whole season.
He's just been sad.
Yes, he
sad.
Has.
Wanking been, it alone.
He probably hasn't even been wanking.
Yeah, just depression.
Yep.
Just depression. But Poppy says, Do you think you'll ever be a dad? And Quentin says, I hope so, but he's got like this knowing look in his
eye.
Because
already
Quentin
been a
already
dad!
Was a dad!
I hide
mad.
It. He should have said I was a dad.
I was a dad and I did a fucking great job.
Yeah,
I had grandkids
had
and everything.
I had a great child.
Yeah, but nope, we're never going to hear about Teddy again, which is so sad.
Poor Teddy.
So then we see Harold the Herald. He has come, and he delivers the God Bean to Julia. And
see,
says,
another freaking quest, right?
No, that's what they were looking
for. I know, I'm saying this whole episode is nothing but dumb quests.
So then he says, hey, you know, the East River Dragon wants you to know that she wants you to recover your truth and that you should make this state you're currently in temporary and that you should talk to
snap out
and
of it.
Seek the binder. And then she's like, are you going to explain anything? And he's like, nope, bye, and
I'm
leaves.
Audi 5000.
So then we see Fenn and Margot, and they're back at Whitespire, and Margot's like, Josh and I are going to get married, and you're going to be our maid of honor. It's going to be awesome. And Fenn's like, you don't really... Oh, this is a dream.
Right.
And she freezes it, and she runs after the mysterious figure.
The green
And
hood.
She finally catches her, and it's the Napster, and she looks like a hairless cat, and she's like... She hisses her, and she's like, why didn't you wake up? And she's like, I took a potion called Ambien. I might never wake up.
That's pretty funny.
It is.
Face makeup is really good on the Napster. The ears twitch and everything. And the nose is particularly fascinating.
Fun fact, this is the very second episode of The Magicians I ever saw. This very scene, I walked in on my mother watching it, and I said, what the fuck are you watching? That looks weird as hell. right.
But the thing about the Napster that bothers me a little...
Is her head is so big?
No. It's that her nails are wrong. Cat's nails do not come off of the back. They come from underneath.
Well.
And they should have had the nails come down like a cat's nails.
Yeah.
So they screwed it up.
But the Napster is like, here, do you want your destiny or not? And you can have another person's destiny if you want. And Fenn's like, well, you know, I should probably get High King Margo's because, she's the king and that is important. And then, you know, the Napster's like, do you value yourself, Fenn? And Fenn's like, I guess, maybe. I need to, you know what? I will ask for my own destiny. I need to value myself in order for the good of Fillory. And she's like, listen, your destiny concerns the High King.
Of course.
And she's like, okay, great.
It's because they don't know how to write Fenn. Another character who is a victim of bad writing, right?
And the Napster says, you need to stand beside the High King at her throne, and you need to dethrone her at all costs. And even if it's like a bloody terrible mess, you've got to dethrone Margo. And that is where the episode ends.
Another cliffhanger and another quest.
Yep.
All right. Well.
How would you rate this episode?
I don't know. I mean, it's as far as like episodes go, it's funny. I mean, there's some funny stuff in it, and the characters are all running around and doing interesting bits of business, although ultimately it's just kind of useless and dumb. What's our rating scale again?
Out of 5 God Beans.
I don't know, like a 3.5 maybe?
3.5? That's my score!
Hey!
Yay! Same score! I like the comedy. I love the little egg bits. It's so fucking funny. Jason Ralph and Arjun Gupta are the funniest people alive. And
yeah, they need to do more comedy.
They need to do a comedy together, and they need to do more comedy in general, because they're so fucking funny.
They don't realize it, though. They're like the writers on The Magicians, right?
I don't give a shit about anything else in this episode except for the egg plot line. The egg plot line is the most fun. So that's why we get those negatives. Right. But it's a solid, okay episode.
I feel like they've officially run out of like interesting things for Alice and the library and all that, right? Like that whole it feels like a dead end to me. Right?
Yeah. Well, I told you before, you know, in the previous episode, Alice like has reached the point of like full character.
Right. Right. They need what they really should have done is by this point, they should have already resolved. Elliot, right? The monster thing.
Well, no,
and they should have
introduced... The finale hinges on saving Elliot from
right,
the
I know. But what they should have done is had the monster go out and go into somebody else.
Mm.
Right? Like, so maybe the monster's hopping. So maybe the monster goes into Margo,
or
the monster
Alice.
Goes into Alice, or the monster... Yeah, giving another actor... like, they're like, yay, we did it. You know,
we got him free, but now it's in Katie, and she has a gun.
Or even worse, Julia, and she's God-powered, right?
Well, that's going to happen.
Well, but what I'm saying is that, like, there are more interesting things that they could have done rather than having just everybody run around, you know, like morons getting cum and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right. So, all right. Speaking of which, where can people find you online?
Well, are you going to ask me what's happening in Magician's
it's
Land?
It's probably cum related, so I really don't want to know.
No. So, as of right now, it is October. It's Kinktober, which means...
See? What? Exactly! That's exactly!
So, that means that there's people writing a whole bunch of fun prompts.
Please
stuff.
Don't write any related stories.
Also, the Magician's Happily Ever After event is happening.
Better.
People are writing stories based on rom-coms for the Magicians. And I also know that in January, it's going to be Quelliot Kid Week, which means writing the relationship Quentin and Elliot when they have a child, whether that be adoption or surrogacy or anything. You can make up a kid or you can give them the one that's canon.
Ben?
Teddy.
Teddy.
You can give him a canon kid or you can give him a made-up kid.
Or a dragon kid. Or a Falcor. It could be about Falcor.
It could be Falcor. But those are the kind of fun events that are happening right now, which is pretty cool.
All right. That sounds like a lot of things going
on. Yeah, it's a lot of things. It's pretty dang cool.
All right. Well, that's cool. Yeah. All right. Well, I look forward to not reading any stories about Calm. All right. So if people wanted to find you online because you've been doing a lot of nice art lately, where can they find you?
Well, you can find us, the podcast, at fillerandfather at gmail.com and at fillerandfather on Twitter and fillerandfather on TikTok.
Oh, TikTok.
Yeah. And you can find me at @wow_then on Twitter, at fishydwells on Instagram and on Patreon, also under the name Evelyn Rogers, or my website, Evelyn Lee Rogers. Come and support me. I'm doing things. Making art. It's pretty cool.
Evelyn will draw whatever
I'm
you want.
I'm learning how to animate in DaVinci Resolve.
Even a dragon. If you want a dragon, Evelyn will draw that dragon
even
for you.
Even a dragon.
It could even be a purple dragon.
I have to draw my monthly horse.
Speckles.
I have to draw my monthly horse.
Yeah, is that your assignment?
Well,
draw a horse?
No, it's because I have a patron. Shout out to Ellen, who pays for the $15 request tier. And so every month, you can request an art piece from me.
And they want horses.
And she makes me draw her
That's
horses.
Good.
And
good.
It's pretty good. I'm getting pretty good at it,
good.
Actually.
Good. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you, Ellen.
Next,
very cool.
Somebody should commission Evelyn next to draw cars.
Ugh.
Right.
God.
Right.
But speaking of cars,
yeah. What about them?
Where can people find you?
In my car, bridge.
In your car, sitting in our parking spot, listening to podcasts and not coming in the house
air
for an
conditioning.
Hour.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's nice. That's,
But where can people find you
car.
Online?
They can find me at Instagram and on Twitter.
But what usernames?
Mighty Bedbug. Mm. I was getting there.
Eventually.
These things take some lead up.
Yeah.
That's where you can find me. Say hi. Nobody says hi to me on Twitter anymore.
Hi.
So, except for you. You just retweet all the goofiness that I
You're welcome.
Post. I appreciate it. All right. That's,
thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
And we appreciate
you.
You
will
and
hear us
next time
on Fillory and Father.